Chase, Willie, and D-May's final hour this Wednesday. Talking Titans. But before tomorrow, join Chase, Willie, and D-May's as they broadcast live from Almost Friday, located downtown at 415 4th Avenue South. The guys will be giving away a pair of tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium. That's tomorrow from 10 to 2 at Almost Friday downtown. We posed a question before we went to the break, asked you to call and text in about is there any way that the Titans, with all their injuries, all the things they got going on, five-game losing streak going up against the Dallas Cowboys, one of the better teams in the NFL. We got Clay on the line to talk about the Titans. Clay, go ahead. What's your take on the Titans going up against the Cowboys tomorrow night?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. Good. How are you?
D-Mace, you remember me from the bowling event?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
It was a pleasure to meet you, brother.
You as well.
Still waiting on – I still want to bring my jersey over there for you to sign it. But anyway, you know, it's an interesting thing. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong. This game, since it's not a division game, if the Titans, you know, lose to the Cowboys and then beat the Jags, both teams obviously finish 8-9 if the Jags win against the Texans. So the Titans win the division by a better division record? Is that the case?
I believe so, because the Titans swept the Colts and the Colts split with the Jaguars.
Yep.
Okay, so this is, you know, maybe somewhat of a meaningless game, you know, but I agree with you, D-Mace. You know, I think you want to stop the skid and have, you know, some kind of momentum to change things around, you know, heading, you know, into these last 2 weeks. If you are going to have any potential to do anything, it's a roll of the dice, I think, for Coach Grable. You know, do you play players in this game? Do you not? I think you have as many hands on deck as you can going into the Jacksonville game, because you do have a mini break, like you said. It's just going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out.
Appreciate it, Clay. Thank you, Clay, for that. And I think that's kind of what the Titans are going with right now as they mentally prepare for this matchup. That who do we rest? Who don't we rest? You know, this game, you know, on paper is meaningless, but to the guys in the locker room, to the morale of the team, to lose six straight, that's not going to help this team moving forward. Now, you can throw the bag in on the season and say, you know, the Dallas game doesn't matter. Jacksonville is better than us. And if the Titans were to somehow make it into the playoffs, you can also say, who are they going to beat? But that's just not what these guys in the locker room are thinking right now, D-Mace. And I think you as a former player can kind of touch on that and let the audience know that there is meaning to these last two games, even if they do lose out and lose seven straight. This does mean a lot to these players, and they're going to still go out there no matter who's playing and give it at all and trying to get a W, because that's what this team needs.
Yeah, this is not preseason where, you know, guys, you know, you just don't play guys and guys are okay with it. Most guys are okay with it. Veteran guys that not playing. This is a different situation. I know it doesn't mean anything from a statistical standpoint, from where they, you know, seeding in the playoffs. It means nothing to the Titans. It means everything to the Dallas Cowboys, because they want to at least stay on pace with the Philadelphia Eagles, because they still have a slight chance at getting that number one seed if Philadelphia falters, if Jalen Hurts can't come back before the end of the season. So Dallas has to win this game to stay on pace with Dallas, with the Eagles. But the Titans, where they sit, they don't have to win this game. But again, from a morale standpoint, I think it is a must-win game. I think, you know, you headed into the Jacksonville game in Jacksonville on a 6-game losing streak isn't good. It isn't good for anybody. It isn't good for the morale of the team. Isn't good for the fan base or anything or the organization. I think you need to get out of this slump that you're in and feel better about yourself going into the Jacksonville Jaguars game. Because if Jacksonville, you know, as many think and believe, you know, go to Houston and put it on Houston, now they have even more momentum heading into that last game, and they have more confidence that we are going to win this division. So the Titans, you got to go in with some sense of, you know, confidence or some sense of being high confidence and being high in regards to your morale. If you don't win this game versus Dallas, I don't see how you beat Jacksonville last game of the season, regardless who back, because one person that's not going to be back is Ryan Tannehill. That's one guy that's not going to be back. So you rest the rest of the guys, and then all of a sudden say, oh, we're going to flick this light switch on, and y'all are going to go out there, and we're going to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't.
It's not like a faucet. And here's Mike Vrabel from his press conference earlier this week talking about the importance to get this win against the Dallas Cowboys, even though it doesn't mean anything in the standings.
This game doesn't affect your ability to get into the tournament, but how important is it to see one get into the win column and kind of find that winning formula again before the ultimate step?
Well, I mean, it's a great test against a talented football team, a good football team that just, you know, has won a lot of games. And so that's what we try to do each and every week is figure out who you have, figure out, you know, what you can do, what you can run, and you know, get them as healthy as you can, and then get them, you know, go play hard and do the things that we know that win, you know, each and every day, just do them a little bit more consistently.
And I think he's right, because if the Dallas Cowboys come in here on Thursday Night Football, a short week, they have to come to your home field, and they absolutely blow you out, there's no chance this Titans team is going to get up and all of a sudden, even if they are a little bit healthier, that they're going to have the morale to think, oh, we can go into Jacksonville, who if they beat Houston, I believe that'll be their fourth win in a row. They will have been 6-2 in their last 8 games, whereas you've lost 6 in a row. And they're not going to be able to get up and win that game. And also, we've seen resting guys doesn't always work. Sometimes resting guys makes you come in flat. Sometimes guys need the reps. So I think it's important that this team comes in and at least tries to compete. Mm-hmm. Don't put yourself in a bad situation going into week 18, but you at least need to try to compete to give you something to hold on to yeah. try and get that win. And
yeah, because again, you know, you want to stop the bleeding. That's what you want to do. You want to stop the bleeding and show your guys that, listen, if we do the things that we're capable of doing, even if we don't have some of our guys in, if we do the things that we're capable of doing, see what happens, we win football games. That needs to be the mantra going into this game. Like, listen, we're injured, but we can win. You know, we've lost 5 in a row, but we can win this game. It doesn't look good, but we can win. We can win this game, and then we can win the week 18 game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That has to be the mantra. That has to be what's going through that building. It's not a, you know, let's rest our guys this week, and then, you know, we ramp everybody up for the next following week, because it's been proven. If you tell these guys they're not playing right now, they're gonna check out. They're gonna check out for this week. They're not going to be ready to go. And just in case, because they can't just sit them out. They can't sit them all out. What if he said, okay, I'm address them, but y'all not playing? You can't tell a player that. You just can't. Because I'm going into the game thinking I'm not going to play. What if an injury occur two injuries occur. Again, now you got to go into the game. Mentally, you're not ready. You're not prepared mentally because your coach had already told you you're not playing. I'm sitting you out. No, if you are hurt, you can play unless it has something to do with a concussion. If you are injured, we need to reevaluate it. But if you are just hurt, you can play. You're going to go out there and play because we need to show this. We need to show this organization and our fan base that we are still in it. If you remove some of your players, you're essentially, yeah, you can say, well, I'm holding him out because I want to win that final game. But it's not a guarantee that you're going to win that final game. So if you pull him out, they lose this game, and then you bring him back in and lose against Jacksonville game, now you've ended the season on a 7-game losing streak, and you have a losing record. And the fan base is done with you because they know there's going to be a lot of turnover in the offseason. So all of this stuff that you tried to do, you've lost it all because you chose to sit your guys in hopes that you win against Jacksonville. Players want to play no matter what. Put us out there on the field. Let us do what we love doing. You ain't going to stop coaching, are you?
No.
Vrabel ain't going to say, well, Vrabel, if you're going to pull your players, I tell you this, you don't show up at the game either. You get a headset to Downing. You get a headset to Shane Bowen. Do that. Or give the headset to whoever other guy that you may think is capable of being a head coach. Give them that. If you're going to sit your players and say this game don't mean nothing, well, don't coach this game. But I know that's not the case to Vrabel. I know he doesn't think like that. But he's in that situation. So if you pull your players out because they're hurt, then you don't coach. It's simple. It's fair.
D-Mate's preaching right now.
You don't coach if you're pulling your players out. Don't coach the game. Let Shane Bowen coach the game. As a matter of fact, let Schwartz coach the game. He's still somewhere around here. I think he's still.
Pat O'Hara.
Yeah, let somebody, Pat O'Hara, do it. You don't coach. If you're going to hold your players out, you don't coach. Plain and simple. You coach next week. And see how that goes.
D-Mace is absolutely preaching right now. Listen, we're both in agreement. The Titans need to at least have a moral victory tomorrow to get it done. But something I want to touch on. Should this organization keep being faithful to Malik Willis when he hasn't continued to progress? We're going to talk about him. Joshua Dogs coming up next segment. You're listening to Chase Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game.
All right. Hey, people, you know who it is, and I'm going to tell you about my friends at Creation CBD. As a former athlete, I have aches and pains all over. That is definitely true. My knees are bad, especially, you know, like I said, my knees. My back every once in a while, and I have been searching for a solution for years, and I found it. It's Creation CBD. Creation means healing, and that says it all. Creation is a locally and organically sourced high-quality CBD products for you and your pets, which is for me, and I can give them to my dogs. I got two boxers. One is a little bit older than the other, and she's dealing with hip pains. So you know what? I'm going to give her some Creation CBD and see how that works. I'm pretty sure she will be like a spring chicken once again. Whether you're an active athlete like me, or a paper pusher, like the suit. Nah, my man, the suit, he's all right. Creation has something for you. They even have stuff for pets, too. Order yours now on creationcompany.com and enter the code DMACE to get 25% off. That's DMACE to get 25% off Creation. High-quality CBD products. Creation for life.
We are back, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace talking Titans, Cowboys, tomorrow night, Thursday night football in prime time at Nissan Stadium. But first, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace presented by Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. So if you, like many others, are dealing with hair loss, hit up our friends at Hair Club. D-Mace, the Titans. In the beginning of the seasons, were highly criticized for putting Malik Willis in as the backup quarterback. The what-if scenario of Ryan Tannehill getting injured and having to throw this rookie into the mix when he just flat-out wasn't prepared to do it. Well, now it's sitting into reality that in the middle of the season, you know, Tannehill was out with that ankle injury. Tannehill comes back after two games, still dealing with injury, likely out for the remainder of the season, and now you're sitting with a rookie quarterback that you drafted in the third round who just doesn't have the experience, he doesn't have the wherewithal to get the job done. In this situation, do you think the Titans should stick with Malik Willis for the remainder of the season no matter what, or should they really consider Josh Dobbs as an option?
Oh, wow. If they didn't have, you know, as if they don't have other problems, here's another one where you potentially have to decide at some point, possibly, you know, do I, you know, pull the starting rookie quarterback who hasn't made any progress within his offense in the moments that he played, or do you go with a guy that you just went out and got 2 weeks ago, may not know the offense quite as well, but has some experience with playing, has been in the NFL for 3-4 years, so he may be a little bit more settled in a sense of him going out there and not having sort of this, the deer in the headlights, the jitters, as some young quarterbacks do. And it seems like Malik falls in that category of young guys that come out and no matter how many times they start, they're just not ready right now. You can go that way, but it's sort of like, you know, the Titans trying to figure out, or Vrabel's trying to figure out which guys to play and who not to play and how will it affect this team moving forward. I think the same goes for Malik Willis. If you pull him, will you completely crush his confidence as a player on this team?
But is that something that the Titans as an organization, seeing what this guy was in the preseason at training camp, what he did through preseason games, what he did in the middle of the season, what he's doing now. I mean, you mentioned it yesterday. He just hasn't really progressed, and we're not really seeing his development. I mean, he's a third-round pick at the end of the day, and if he's not producing the way that they are wanting him to, or he's not coming along at the rate that he should be, do you even care at this point when you still have that option of making the playoffs? In my opinion, if they come out on Thursday, and we talked about this, that they really at least need to attempt to win this game for a morale boost in the locker room. If they come out and Dallas starts to hang up a couple touchdowns, Malik isn't moving the ball, he's getting sacked numerous times because he doesn't know when to get rid of it or when to take off with his legs, I say you have to throw Josh Dobbs in, who's been in this league for about 4 or 5 years now, and at least has the poise and has the knowledge to withstand the adversities that this team is going through right now. And I don't think that Malik Willis's mental aspect should be even put into question. I think right now this team needs to find a way to get in the playoffs and not worry about what their third-round rookie is going through mentally, because at this stage, you got to do what you can to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, you have to. You know, you have to figure out a way to stop the bleeding somehow, some way. And if part of that is, you know, starting the game with Malik, seeing that it's not going well, and then saying, you know what, we got to transition to another quarterback. We got to transition, and get you out and pull you almost to help you in a sense, because it's not fair. But the NFL is not fair. Life isn't fair. But it's not fair that you had to come into a situation where you wasn't ready, and now the offensive line is depleted. You don't have many pass catchers. You probably only got one or two, if that. And I'm talking because I don't know. If Treylon Burks plays, then Treylon Burks is one of your pass catchers. Chigakonkwo and Austin Hooper, who has come on as of late. So you got potentially three pass catchers. But this offense hasn't been flowing that to that level that you're consistently getting them the ball. So you got a bad offensive line, the receivers that haven't shown up, you know, a passing game that's been up and down, and now I'm throwing you out there as a rookie quarterback, and you're not even ready. You're not even close to being ready. I think it might be in the best interest of you. If we're losing, I got to pull you. It's not because of, you know, it's not necessarily all because of how you're playing. It's because of what's in front of you, too. Let me pull you. Let me put Joshua Dobbs in and see how this goes, because I do want to win this game. I do want to get the morale changed before we go into Jacksonville.
And do you see that as an option? Let's say the Titans just can't get anything going.
Always an option.
And if Josh Dobbs were to come in the second half, and let's say this offense moves with a little bit more validity,
mm-hmm.
and he puts some points on the board, and I think he would, because I think him being in the league for 4 or 5 years, even if it is as a backup, he's used to the speed.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when to get the ball out. He knows how to diagnose pressures. He knows when it's time to use his mobility, because he's a pretty fast guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be something that could carry over into Jacksonville if you had him come into the game and he shows a little semblance of life for this offense?
Well, yeah. If you're doing what's best for your team, then yeah, you have to. I think what's best for this team is that they win this game. So you do everything that you need to do to win this game. And if one of those, one of those things is removing, you know, Willis, if he's not doing well, then that's what you do. Because I am here to make sure that this team is in a position to win. I'm the head coach. That's what they brought me in here, is to win, to develop players and to win. So if you're not doing the job, Malik, I have to put Joshua Dobbs in. You know, you left me knowing. And I understand it's not all your fault. I get that. But right now, where we sit, we need to win this game. I will worry about your feelings. We'll talk about that afterwards. We'll do whatever we need to do to make you understand. Listen, you're still in our future, but you need to develop. Okay? Well, bring Joshua Dobbs in. If Joshua Dobbs shows some form of life, he gives some form of life to this offense, then you got to go with them the next following week. You can't then go back to Malik Willis again. If he shows you that we have a better shot at winning with Dobbs in the game as our quarterback than Malik right now, then go with Joshua Dobbs.
It's a tough conversation to have. Who's going to play for the Tennessee Titans this week? Should they stick with Malik Willis no matter what? A lot of questions going into this game against the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of questions to be answered. We got Caroline Fenton in studio coming in to take over for us. But before we go to break, we do have a ticket giveaway. Call in, be caller number 3 to win a pair of tickets to see Nick Cannon at Municipal Auditorium on March 19th. Again, during the break, if you are caller number 3, you will win a pair of tickets to Nick Cannon at Municipal Auditorium on March 19th. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Fenton hopping in. Appreciate Junie Riddle for holding down the fort for me and for D-Mace and for Chase. We've just got the whole house back
in
here,
man,
today,
D-Mace.
You're doing a car wash with all of us.
It's just like just a group. Just keep coming in. It's
exactly.
Bam. And we keep flowing. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. So I heard you and Junie talking on my way in, talking mm-hmm. about how important this Cowboys game is on Thursday. And you might be thinking about it like, well, this isn't a divisional game. This is essentially like a glorified preseason game. And I understand that this Cowboys game doesn't necessarily have any implications for the postseason, mm-hmm. doesn't have any implications for the division. But I think that also there is an invaluable component of this game of momentum,
mm-hmm.
an invaluable component of this game of we just need to get a win on the board. We mm-hmm. just need to get some momentum moving, because even though this game doesn't matter, you lose this game, it doesn't matter in terms of the division. How would you feel about the Titans' chances in week 18 against the Jags if they lose yet another game in a row? They lose 6 games in a row.
I don't feel good. Yeah. I don't feel good at all. I'm not confident that this team, the way they're currently constructed, can go in and say, we don't need the Cowboys game. Let's rest. And in actuality, they don't need the Cowboy game. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I don't think this team is good enough at this point of the season, considering all of their injuries, that they can say the Dallas game don't mean nothing. We can rest some guys, let them get a little bit more healthy. I don't know how much healthier, but a little bit more healthier. Let them rest a little bit, a long weekend, and then come back and feel confident enough that they're going to go to Jacksonville and beat a Jacksonville team that is playing well. And Jacksonville, too, has benefited from the AFC South being a bad division this year. They have benefited just as well as the Tennessee Titans. So I don't think the Titans can, you know, dismiss this game as just another game. We don't have to win it. The game we got to win is at the end of the season. And they're right. The game they got to win is the Jacksonville game.
It's week 18. You have to win that game.
But from a morale standpoint, it looks much different going into the Jacksonville game on it, you know, after winning a game than it is after losing six straight. Mm-hmm. A lot different. The morale, everything is different. I don't see how the Tennessee Titans can then jumpstart themselves and say, oh, we're going to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. You've already proven that a few weeks ago you couldn't beat them.
You couldn't beat them, and then you turned around and lost to an even worse Houston Texans.
Exactly. So what makes you think that, oh, resting some of my guys, you know, we're going to come back and we're going to beat Jacksonville? You're not going to have your quarterback. He's not going to be out there. Okay, you have other guys that are beat up. So, oh, I'm going to save them and not play them against Dallas, but play them against Jacksonville and expect to win. Well, yeah, you expect to win, but are you going to win? This Jacksonville Jaguars team.
I don't even know if you can expect to win.
They're healthy.
I don't know
good.
What to expect from this Titans team anymore, to be completely honest with you.
I don't. I mean, and I do truly believe because of, you know, Vrabel's background, that trying to tell him to almost, in a sense, forfeit this game, it goes against everything that he believes. Everything about competing, winning, you know, being proud of what you do, everything that he's preached to this team since he's been here. This upcoming game and what many are asking you to possibly do, or what you're trying to decide to do, it goes against everything that you've preached. Win at all costs. As a team, that's what we're trying to do. We're not going out there to, let's forget about it. This is not the preseason. And Carolina, I said, listen, if you take the approach, it's your team, you take the approach that, you know what, I'm not going to play these guys because I want to save them for the last game of the season. Okay. Well, Vrabel, take your headset, take the jacket that you wear. It's a nice jacket, too. Take that jacket that you wear, give it to, you know, Boeing, Shane Bowen, or give it to Downing.
Nope, God forbid.
Give it to somebody else. But don't coach this game. Because you just told your players, we don't want you to play. We're saving you.
But at what point is it just strategy? Mm-hmm. At what point is it we got to be smart and go into this game and say we need to win this game for our players' morale and momentum? Mm-hmm. But also, we aren't going to risk bringing players back too early or retweaking something that's been tweaked for, you know, Danico Autry or Treylon Burks or whoever it might be, whatever players might not be 100%. I don't know if Treylon Burks is 100% or not. But at what point is it just strategy of maybe you could go, but maybe we'll hold off just one more week? I don't think that would be intentionally throwing this game and say we're taking every starter off the field. We're putting all the backups in.
Well, they can't do that because they don't have enough guys.
At what point is it just strategy? Because I don't think that they're going to throw this game away just because it doesn't matter in terms of the division. But I do think you have to be smart about it when this team is so injured.
I think you can be smart about it. But again, are you hurt or are you injured? That's what I want to know. If you're hurt, you can play. You've been playing the whole season. You've been hurt. Just about every guy in the NFL at this juncture of the season is hurt. Hell, I'm hurt, and I ain't even playing in the NFL. It's been a long season. Just watching him at times has hurt me, you know?
Emotionally.
Exactly. He's emotionally hurt me. So it is what it is. But if you're hurt, okay, you're still playing. We're gonna do what we need to do to get you ready. If you're injured, that's a different story. Or if you have a concussion coming off a concussion, that's a different story. We're gonna hold you out because the concussion protocol to me is something totally different. Mm-hmm. But if you're hurt, if you're injured, okay, you can't go. We're gonna put you to the side. If you're hurt, no, plan on playing. Now we get to a point in the game where it's just out of reach. Because this offense, as I've said, this offense isn't built to come back from 14, 17 points down. Hell, they might even be built at this point to come back from 10 points down.
Right.
Then I start pulling my guys out. Okay, you sit. Just don't worry about it. We're good. But I don't think you can go into the game essentially telling your team, we're forfeiting this game. And I understand why you're doing it. I get that part. But players want to play. Players want to win. That's the name of the game. It's not let's be strategic and remove guys and this and that. No, the premise of this game, the ultimate goal is to win it all. To win each and every week and to win it all ultimately at the end of the year. That's what this game is about. If you start removing guys, you're going against what you believe. And I know it's. He's probably pulling out his hair like, I want to play these guys because this is what I believe. This is me. But, man, do I hold them out in hopes that they'll be ready? Again, are you hurt or are you injured? If you're injured, I won't play you in hopes that you're ready for next week. But if you're hurt, you got to play. And we will decide based on the game and how it's going whether we pull you or not. So that's just that's my thought about it. You know, I can't wrap my head around, you know, and I told the guys this. In high school, I was hurt. I played, injured, whatever. I played. In college, didn't miss a game. Played, hurt, injured. It didn't matter. In the NFL, 15 years, I think only missed 3 games. So I can't really sit back and rationalize a guy not playing when he can't play. That don't comprehend in me. When you start talking like that, I don't understand. You're talking gibberish. You're talking baby talk. It's like you're in Charlie Brown, you know, you're the teacher over the phone. I don't know what you're saying. That's just me.
Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny has been waiting very patiently. What's up, Kenny?
Hello, friends. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Doing good.
I wanted to remind you of a component that's going to happen Thursday night y'all haven't mentioned. Would y'all agree the Titans right now are a mentally fragile team?
I don't know if I would necessarily say mentally fragile.
Well, I think they're fragile. They're going to walk out Thursday night, and literally half the crowd is going to be for Dallas. I've been in 3 different stadiums, Cincinnati, Atlanta, and here. And, daggum, they come out like roaches and just take over the place. And it'll definitely affect the game if they get a momentum and behind them. I just hate you think it's a home game. You know, we mentioned before it's a home game. This might be a neutral field bowl game type atmosphere with all their fans.
Yeah, thanks Y'all for have your a great call, day. Kenny. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Kenny.
Here's the thing with that. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys fans taking over a stadium, any stadium in the NFL, that's nothing new. Other fan bases filling up Nissan Stadium, 50, 60, 70% mm-hmm. of Bills fans, Packers fans, whatever it might be, that also, unfortunately, is nothing new. Mm-hmm. I was at that Bills Monday night game last year. I was one of the very few not in Bills gear, mm-hmm. at least where I was.
Bills blue,
right, exactly. And Cowboys fans are the same way. They are everywhere. They come out of the woodwork. So I don't think that that's going to be, I don't think that should be a part of the game, and I don't think there's any part of the game that's new that's going to affect this game uniquely than any other game in the past.
No, I don't think it will. You know, but it's to walk out as a player, to walk out of the tunnel, to exit the tunnel, to go out on the field, and to see it seats, what, 69,000? To possibly see, you know, 50,000 of your fans, that is like a momentum booster for you, because mm-hmm. you feel good, like the fans still came out to support us. So we got to give them. You know, there's a reason why Kevin Byard and Jeffrey Simmons put out the tweets that mm-hmm. they did. But if you walk out and you see half of the fans, Cowboy fans, or more than half are Cowboy fans, not because, you know, Cowboy fans are just that loyal, but because Tennessee Titans fans chose not to come to the game, or they chose to sell their tickets to Cowboy fans. As a player, you walk out and you think, this juncture of the season, what's been going on, you think, damn. You know, it's like in the back of your mind, it's like, damn, they wouldn't even come out. Okay. Then you got to quickly put it behind you and go out there and play.
You got a job to do. Yeah, whether there's fans in the stands or not, whether those fans are Cowboys fans or Titans fans or whatever fans, you have a job to do. And I don't think, and if that does affect the game, I think that speaks more volumes about the state of that program internally than it does anything else.
Yeah, you think about it for a quick second as you exit the tunnel, and then you get over and you move on.
Get over it.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls and your texts. But coming up next, we're hearing a lot from the camp that wants to see Malik Willis out there against the Cowboys. We're also hearing a lot from the camp that wants to see something from Josh Dobbs. But what do the Titans really need to do offensively in order to get a win tomorrow night against the Cowboys? We'll get into that coming up next. Chase Whitley, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
At Tennessee Titans, here's what you ought to do. Fire the offensive coordinator if one of these three things happen today. All right, number one, Derrick Henry should at least carry the ball 30 times today. 30 times. If he doesn't, fire the guy. Okay, and here's another one. If the quarterback, Malik Willis, who we've seen is a rookie quarterback. By the way, rookie quarterbacks are horrendous in this league. And this guy is even worse than that. If he throws the ball over 15 times today, fire the coordinator. And here's the last one. If Derrick Henry is not on the field on third down, fire the coordinator. I don't care. I don't know who you are. But all I know is you make the job easy for a defensive coach anytime Derrick Henry's not on the field. One thing I know for sure, all right, Lovie Smith and the defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans, they can't stop Derrick Henry. He's had over 200 yards the last four times against this team. So guess what? The only coordinator that can stop him is you, the offensive coordinator. Give Derrick Henry the ball. If you want to make the playoffs, give Derrick Henry the ball at least 30 times. Stop it. You don't have to outsmart people.
There you go. That was Rex Ryan on ESPN earlier this week going into the Titans matchup with the Texans saying, hey, Malik Willis throws the ball more than 15 times. Fire the offensive coordinator. And you know what? Malik Willis did, in fact, throw the ball more than 15 times.
Well, is that why Rex Ryan got fired? Because his quarterback was horrible?
Maybe so.
Man, Rex.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, are we?
That's a whole different story.
Are we looking at Rex Ryan like he is some sort of football guru?
No.
But the fact that he is speaking what seems to be the most obvious thing that we've all been preaching. Please, just put the ball in Derrick Henry's hands. Rex Ryan knows it, and nobody looks at him like he's some genius. I think we all know it.
Mm-hmm.
And Derrick Henry touched the ball 23 times against the Houston Texans. He says if Derrick Henry's off the field on third down, fire the offensive coordinator. Derrick Henry on several third downs was nowhere to be found on the field.
Yeah, but hey, listen, we got to blame Derrick Henry too. If Derrick Henry doesn't fumble the football, which is his third fumble in as many games, which we need to start paying attention to because it's been uncharacteristic of Derrick Henry to give the ball away as much as he has in a season. And over the last three games, he's fumbled just as many times, I believe. So when you say that, Derrick Henry, you got to hold on to the ball because if you hold on to the ball, you score. You go and score. You score that drive. Or Zach Cunningham, they're paying you X amount of dollars to be the playmaker that they thought you would be and you showed at times when you're with the Houston Texans. Well, when you come back and the ball hits you in your hands, you got to catch it. Because what happens? You drops it, they score.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You make plays when you're supposed to make plays in this league and you hold on to that ball like it's your life in this league. When you don't do those things, you end up losing to a team that on paper, you're better than. So I get given to Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry has to be more cautious with the football. He has to protect the football a little bit more, too.
And I'm I'm totally with you. I don't think Derrick Henry's...
right. He needs to be... The bulk of the offense needs to run through him.
I mean, the turnovers are a problem. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry's not taking care of the football, and that's a problem. Even with the turnovers, mm-hmm. and especially with Tannehill out, even with Tannehill in, your offense lives, dies, breathes, mm-hmm. runs through Derrick Henry. But even when you have, if you have Malik Willis out there, if you have Josh Dobbs out there, both quarterbacks that I think are wildly unqualified to be starting quarterbacks in this league, especially with those two in there, this offense has to run through Derrick Henry. Rex Ryan said it before the Texans game, and I'll reiterate it going into this Cowboys game. This is going to be a really tough game to win for the Titans, considering how good the Cowboys' defense is, considering how many weapons they have offensively, and looking at how many injuries the Titans are suffering with this week and really throughout the entire season. But if the offense doesn't run through Derrick Henry, you have no shot. So the same thing that Rex Ryan said last week, I still think rings true, especially since Tannehill is out.
Yeah, the only, I guess, one of the saving graces for the Titans is this. As good as Dallas has been and has shown at times throughout the season, I know their record shows that they're a playoff team. I think they're, 10-4, 11-5, somewhere around there. This team manages to throw up on themselves a lot.
They do, you know, get Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. They find a way, what I call it, they Dallas themselves. Mm-hmm. They find a way to lose the game. Jacksonville, you got them up. Only thing you got to do is just continue to, you know, push the ball down the field. Not throwing it, but move the ball methodically down the field. Don't take any wild chances. What happens? Dak Prescott throws an interception. Jacksonville scores. Now it's 24-27. Okay. Jacksonville comes back in again. They're making plays on offense. In overtime, what happens? It wasn't Dak's fault, but what happens? He throws the ball to a guy, bounces off his shoulder pads. They intercept it, run the ball in his own. They win the game. Mm-hmm. Dallas themselves. They threw up all over themselves. So with that being said, that's a saving grace for the Titans, because to me, Dallas can walk in here overlooking the Titans because of their injuries, because of who's at quarterback, because they're on a 5-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. They might come in here and overlook the Tennessee Titans. And the Tennessee Titans, even though Dallas is a good defensive team, they're still giving up 130 yards rushing. That's tailor-made for Derrick Henry.
Tailor-made.
Pound, 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 pound the ball. Pound Dallas' defensive line into submission. You know what that does? That elite edge rusher that they got in Michael Parsons, mm-hmm. the guy that can change a game in a blink of an eye.
He is really that dude.
Exactly. You take him out the game now because he can't get to the quarterback. And then when you just do decide to run, well, you've ran Derrick Henry so many times at him, away from him. Now he don't know what to think. Now he's beat up a little bit. Now you can play action and throw the ball down the field. But you have to do it strategically. It all has to run through Derrick Henry. It only helps Malik Willis. It only helps the offensive line. That's their only saving grace, is that Dallas Cowboys, they have proven over the last two decades they can't put teams away. They can't just do the job they're supposed to do.
And I hear you, because I think several times I've looked at the Cowboys and thought, Cowboys, bunch of losers. Totally just shot themselves in the foot. But a couple thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. One is, I don't want to rely on the Cowboys making mistakes that benefit the Titans. Mm-hmm. I'd rather the Titans just do it themselves. Just take care of business yourself and let the Cowboys do that to themselves instead of banking on that. I said the same thing going into the game against the Chargers, that I think Brandon Staley is not a very intelligent football coach. Mm-hmm. I think that Brandon Staley sometimes hurts that team more than he helps them. Same kind of thing with Mike McCarthy. He makes decisions that I'm like, what in the world are you doing? But I don't want to depend on the Cowboys making those decisions. And let's not forget, as much as the Cowboys get Mike McCarthy'd, the Titans get Todd Downing'd.
So who gets it first?
That's the question. But that's going to do it for us today. Chase, Willie, and D-Maze. I'll stick around. Stillman & Company is up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Maze will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m.
We out.